Today is quite possibly a day of recovery for many folks around the listening area. You see, last night was Halloween, so actually there's a number of different things you might be in recovery from. Perhaps you're feeling a bit fatigued from manning the door and the stretch of vigilance to make sure your yard and trees stayed toilet paper free. Or maybe you're in recovery from a long night of driving the kids around, after having lost out at rock, paper, scissors with your spouse on who actually had car duty. If you happen to be a kid listening to the show today, perhaps you're finally starting to come back down from a tremendous annual sugar rush, or perhaps it's just from having to deal with mom and dad last night as you bargained intensely for how much they'd actually let you eat from your newly acquired bounty. It might even be mom and dad recovering from their own sugar high, achieved with leftover candy after they put the kids to bed. At any rate, many folks are probably feeling the effects of the day after, and that's okay, because it does only come once a year. So what exactly do sugared-up kids and candy have to do with this program? I'm glad you asked. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I'm not going to get into a long history of just where and how Halloween started, or the many changes it's gone through over its history. Over the course of my history, rapidly approaching 5 decades now, Halloween has meant dressing up in costumes and going door to door for candy. I suspect that holds true for most of you as well. Halloween is about scary things, monsters of all sorts and haunted houses and such. During my childhood days, the biggest scare came from the Halloween costumes my mom would make. It was largely a cost-saving measure on her part, and while there's nothing inherently wrong with that, it was not at all one of her many talents. And I do have the Polaroids to back me up on that. Halloween carries with it a great deal of symbolism in the way of scary images. Monster and scary movie marathons can be seen on many TV channels in the weeks leading up to the actual night, and a large number of things and images are strongly tied to the holiday, including vampires, werewolves, Frankenstein's monster, graveyards, haunted houses, witches on brooms, zombies, skeletons, the full moon, and ghosts, to name but a few. But there are also many real-life creatures and critters that receive greater attention during Halloween. Creatures and critters that are not only real, but some of them are found around Southwest Alaska. I'm talking about wolves, bats, owls, spiders, and, thanks to Edgar Allan Poe, possibly ravens as well. Okay, so some of those have been covered as Field Notes topics in the past. In fact, bats were a topic not all that long ago. Even so, indulge me today if you will. Pull out one of those bite-sized Milky Ways or Butterfingers that I know you have stashed in the pocket of your coat or your desk drawer, and give a listen to Halloween creatures that call Togiak Refuge home. If there's anything truly scary about ravens, it should probably be their sheer numbers. At times it seems to me as though I'm living out an Alfred Hitchcock scene every time I walk from my truck to just about any store or business here in Dillingham, and I know that many villages around the area are similar in their overabundant raven populations. However, from more of a Halloweenish standpoint, a lot of the attention a raven would receive comes from Edgar Allan Poe's spooky narrative poem of the mid-1800s. In that poem, a talking raven visits a distraught fellow who's broken up over the loss of the love of his life. So, how do ravens come away from this poem getting a bad rap as being spooky? Because that's the way Poe portrays them. As an example, here's a line from the last paragraph. "And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming." Add in their size, which, by the way, comes in at a body length of 2 feet and a wingspan of 4, black color, and that no-nonsense machete of a bill that they have, and they definitely have a menacing look. By way of classification, ravens are actually large songbirds. Will they ever feel the love of smaller, more colorful songbirds, such as warblers, thrushes, or sparrows? The likely answer? Nevermore. Spider species are far too numerous to get into with any detail given the time constraints of this program. Suffice to say, spiders can be very polarizing critters. Most folks either absolutely detest or are afraid of them, or they don't mind them at all. I happen to fall into that latter category. I figure anything that's willing to dine on things I hold in lower esteem, well, it's all right by me. That's not to say I endorse all spiders. For example, parts of Kansas are absolutely overrun with brown recluse spiders, one of the truly poisonous species found across North America. I do not know how many spider species are found in Alaska. Probably it's more than you would think, but far less than can be found across most of the lower 48. The ones we do have are of the non-poisonous variety, so that's a plus. However, that's probably not much consolation to folks who suffer from a touch of arachnophobia, and spiders will probably maintain a position of strength as a Halloween icon. Again, bats were covered on this show not all that long ago. If you remember anything about that episode, then perhaps you remember that almost any bat you can see around our area is, specifically, a little brown bat. Its actual name, in addition to a fairly accurate description. Bats are strange-looking, compared to other animals, display highly erratic flying patterns, and are nocturnal. In short, it's easy to look at them and see something a bit creepy. The upside to bats is that they consume a large amount of mosquitoes and other small flying insects, which in my mind completely offsets how they might look, fly, or act. Like spiders, it seems likely that bats will continue to be tied to Halloween for the foreseeable future. Owls, I would think, perhaps seem a bit less scary than bats or spiders, even though they're quite a bit bigger in size, or at least they can be. Probably the two owl species that get the most attention at Halloween, based on images I've seen, are barn owls and great horned owls. How owls got hitched to Halloween, I'm not sure, but I'll toss out a couple of ideas that come to mind. Some of it for owls may be the sounds that they make, whether hoots or screeches. Also, they're a nocturnal bird. The eeriness of their sounds is likely amplified through hearing them in the pitch dark. I know I've heard more than my share of owls while out hunting or trapping and during times when it's still dark, and it never fails to get my attention. Possibly adding to it is the fact that they have really large eyes for their size, and some people think it gives them something of a freaky look. One other thing that might play into the owl being a Halloween symbol is that, historically, they've had a reputation as a wise or spiritual animal across many ancient and Native American cultures. For what it's worth, Togiak Refuge is home to 7 species of owls. The Great Horned Owl, Snowy Owl, Northern Hawk Owl, Northern Saw-Whet Owl, Short-Eared Owl, Boreal Owl, and Great Gray Owl. Of those, the smallest is the Saw-Whet Owl at a mere 7 inches in length and sporting a 17-inch wingspan, and the largest is the Great Gray Owl, with a body length of nearly 2 feet and a wingspan of 5 feet or more. The 5th animal I mentioned is perhaps the most elusive and would deserve a nod as the scariest. I do not say that because there is ever any real threat to people from wolves, but because they are an apex predator, and they're the largest of the animals I listed, with a tie to Halloween. Actually, what's more often tied to Halloween is the idea of a werewolf, something you won't find on the Togiak Refuge wildlife list. However, wolves and the mournful howls they're noted for definitely register with many folks at Halloween time. Wolves are large, sleek members of the canine family, and one of the first animals many folks think of when they think of Alaska. They are definitely a part of the scene across the Bristol Bay region. Adult males weigh over 100 pounds and can occasionally push that as high as 150. Wolves are a fairly reclusive animal, despite the fact they're often found in packs. This likely adds to the mystique surrounding them, and it's likely their looks, behavior, and howls will keep them on the Halloween list for many people. This episode has been a largely tongue-in-cheek look at some of Togiak's Halloween-related species. Oh, we do have those species that were mentioned, but for the most part, they're not any more dangerous or scary than any of the other animal species that covered the refuge landscape. Now, about zombies, Frankenstein's monster, or vampires, well, you've got about as good a chance of seeing a polar bear on Togiak Refuge as you do one of those, possibly better. If you want to catch a glimpse of one of those monsters, you're going to have to find a different refuge. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.